Good morning. Today's daf and Baba Kama Kuf Yud Ches. We are starting on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the words Ha'u De'achvei. We just finished the story with Rav Kahana, so we're about a third of the way down. I have two dots in my Gemara. It's about a quarter of the way down. A little bit above that. We are discussing the Sukkot of Moshe. We are here at the end of Baba Kama. We're in the 10th parak, and the Mishnah taught us the din of Moshe. What happens if you go ahead and inform and snitch on your friend's money to the local government? The local government then goes and takes that money based on your information. So you are in halacha, what's called a moser, and are you going to be chayv, yes or no? Okay, so we go back to the regular rules that we've been learning now for 118 days? Sure. And that is that if you do nezik, and you do nezik by a dime, you're going to be chayv, actively destroying and harming another person or his property, so you're liable. Doing so, but not actively, but rather indirectly, grama. So grama ben nizakin is going to be pater. So is this a case of yadayim or is this a case of grama? What a great question. And it's more like the case of grama. It's indirect. It's not direct. And as a result of that, so you're going to be pater, right? So that's not what we learned yesterday. So what we learned yesterday is that this, either this is grama, but this is just such a heinous act that you're going to be chayiv, or maybe somewhere in the middle. It's grami. It's not perfectly direct. It's not perfectly indirect. It's somewhere in that gray area of garmi. That's, of course, if you assume there's a gray area, we already discussed numerous times. According to Rashi, there is no difference between garmi and garama. So it's really the same thing. It's just some courts do, in fact, litigate and convict garmi, and some courts don't. Okay. And the Ramban, as we discussed already numerous times, has some sort of middle category where there is nezik biadaim, there's garama, and then there's this middle category of garmi. In any event, in any case, so being moser in of itself is a bad thing, and going ahead now and basically reporting other people's money to the government is a bad thing, and there are courts that are going to be mechayev. That's what we learned yesterday. Well, truth of the matter is, yesterday we went even further. At the time when you're being moser, so at that point in time, you could be qualified as a rodef. In other words, going ahead and basically offering up your other people's money to the government. So, and once you open the door, so then allowing the government to go ahead and access other people's monies, who knows when it's going to stop? So at the time when you're being moser, so you could be regarded as a rodef. In fact, yesterday, we went through the story of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, one of the most unbelievable stories told. It's one that just stays with me for a long time. And that is that there was a person who told Rav, I'm going to be a moser. Rav pleaded with him not to, and he said, I don't care what your thought process is. I'm going to do it, right or wrong, obviously wrong. So I'm going to do it. And Rav Kahana took this guy and broke his neck, killed him. As a result of that, Rav Kahana himself had to be extradited. He exiled, really. Exiled from Bavel Teretz Yisrael. And we went through the whole story yesterday, an unbelievable story regarding Rav Kahana and him killing somebody because he was a moser. As we already pointed out yesterday, the Rambam does, in fact, say that you can go ahead and kill a moser, but only while he's mosering. Okay, now I know I made up that word. I know I did. But in other words, but only b'shas mesira, only in the actual time that he was a moser. If you caught him after he was a moser, so no longer is he a rodef, and no longer is he chayv misa. It's similar to, okay, this analogy is mine, so you could take... So similar to someone who's baba machteres, someone breaking into your home. So at the time when they're breaking in, so they're a rodef. And as a result of that, you can kill them. But once they leave, once they exit the home, no longer do you have the right to kill them. Okay. So anyway, in any regard, so this is the halachas of moser. Obviously, this is an extraordinarily serious offense. It is both a civil and criminal offense to go ahead and to be a moser. Okay. And with that stated, let's go. We have two more days of the Masechta, unbelievably. How da'achvei... Am Tikasa, de Rabbi Abba. Okay, so there was a moser. Rabbi Abba had Am Tikasa, meshi, it's some sort of silk. And so this guy went ahead and went over to the local government, local authorities, and said, hey, you need money? No problem at all. And he showed him where it was. So yes, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzhak Nafchav, yes, Rabbi Elai Gabayu. So a series of Amorayim, Savar Lechayivua. So over here now, what should we do with him? In other words, this is after, they caught him after he was mosered. After he mosered, sorry, the active form, right? And so they caught him afterwards. So now this is just a civil case; it's not a criminal case. And now should we civilly charge him? So that's the question. So mehadit nan danas adin vizika zechay vechay vezazakai timas atar v'tiras atame mashasa asur v'yishal mebeiso. And the Mishnah, which we quoted so many times, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, regarding a court that basically was malpractice. In other words, they just simply judged the wrong. They judged incorrectly based on a law that is not just, in fact, just the opposite. So, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the court has to pay. In other words, it's gross malpractice on the part of the court. The court has to pay. Now, the consideration of the Gemara over here, every time we quote this Mishnah, it's always going to be the same back and forth. The first consideration is, well, what did they do actively? Nothing. They just ruled. That's not nezik bi'adayim. And yet they have to pay. So what do you see over here? It's a case of grumming, you have to pay. Most is the same thing, right? So Amlu Rabbi Elai, Hachi Amar Rav Hushad Asim Nasim Biyad. So the Gemara says every time we quote this Mishnah. Okay, you forgive me. I don't know. I don't remember how many times, but every single time the Gemara has the same response, and that is no. That Mishnah is talking about a case where the judges themselves picked up the item and moved it from one litigant to the other litigant. So it was biyadayim. It was actually handled physically, literally handled, and it wasn't just a court ruling. And therefore, it's not a case of grumma. So okay, so now, Rabbi Abba, who was mostered on and had his possessions taken away, so he wants civil justice and he wants his money back. So they told him, okay, go to a court. In other words, that particular court is done dina degarmi. And as we've gone over this masechta a couple of times, some courts do in fact award garmi cases, and some courts don't. And he told them, here's the court that you should go to. Now, again, by the way, it's a little bit tricky. What a sensitive topic. Meaning, I know some courts do, in fact, award, some courts don't. So we'll choose the court that awards. Even as I say it, it sounds a little bit uncomfortable, but that's exactly what happened. And now they went to this particular court that does, in fact, award garmi cases. And what do? They pointed to our Mishnah, all right, the Mishnah that we did yesterday. The Mishnah that we did yesterday taught us that if you in fact are a moser, somebody else's property, you're going to have to pay. Okay, good. How governed of a mafkid lay casted the kaspa? So slika ganavi lave shakli avule. Okay, so there was a person who was a nifkad. He was a custodian over a silver cup. Ganavim came, and the ganavim came over to his house. And what he did is he said the following. Look, I know I have a lot of assets, but don't take my assets right now. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the silver cup. Just take the silver cup. Now, it's funny, by the way, they're called ganavim. Ganavim usually means that they're coming in stealth. And over here, it certainly seems like there was a direct communication between him and the ganavim. Anyway, but you understand what the problem is right now. The problem is basically he physically gave up somebody else's property in order to save his own money. So also come at the Rav Patre. So the case came in front of Rabbi, and Rabbi says that he's Pater. In other words, he's a Shomer. Well, let's assume he's a Shomer Chinam. So over here, it's a case of Geneva, and therefore he's Pater. So Amalei Abaye Hayamatza Asma B'mam Chaveruhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but, what do you mean he's Pater? In other words, what he did basically is he saved all of his own properties by giving up his friend's property. In other words, and you're telling me that he's Pater? So Elam Rav Ashi Inish Amidu Adai Di Deyasu. So the Elo, so Adaita de Kaspasu. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm gonna qualify my position. If that Shomer happened to himself to have been a wealthy individual, so in other words, so when the Ganavim came, and the Ganavim now are targeting him. Why are they targeting him? Not because of the silver cup, but because he himself is wealthy, and they were hoping that they were going to go in and steal any one of his any part of his estate. But over here, though, if the case under review is where he's not wealthy, and so therefore the only reason why they got everyone coming in is just for the silver cup. So the they're gonna have him. So I'm not sure if it's Baba Machteris. That part I'm not clear about. So it doesn't. I'm not sure. So anyway, so what they're doing, however, is they're coming in specifically for the silver cup. So under those circumstances now, he is allowed to give it up. Meaning him giving it up is not in service of protecting the other assets. In other words, they came specifically for the silver cup. And therefore, under those circumstances, he, in fact, is going to be potter. Next. How gavadav amafki gabe arnica. Okay, there was a person who deposited some sort of chest by his friend in order to safeguard or to watch it. The pigeon shvuim. Now, it happened to be that money was filled with money. And that money was earmarked for pigeon shvuim. So in the event that people are taken into captivity, so you have ransom money. Okay? The Gemara in Gittin, we did together in the fifth parak, extensively discussed the halachas of when you can redeem and when can you not redeem and how much for. Okay, anyway. So once again, a similar episode where Ganavin come into his house and he said, look, here's what you should take. Take this money. So Asla come into Rava, Upatre. So again, the case came in front of Rava. Now previously was Rava with a hey, here's Rava with an aleph, but Rava said, Pater, exemption. In other words, he's a shomer. And the Ganavim came in and took. He's not obligated to return that money. So once again, what do you mean? Saving all of his assets using the funds of the pigeon shvuyim. So Amalei and lecha pigeon shvuyim gadol mizeh. Ah, so the Gemara says this is pigeon shvuyim, meaning the funds were earmarked for the purposes of pigeon shvuyim. Perfect. The funds were executed, were used as per its purpose. Its purpose was to save a Jew. Here it did exactly that. It saved a Jew.
But if he had his own money to in order to free himself, why should he give the pigeon shvuyim money?
Because that's what the pigeon shvuyim money is for. Could you pass me a tissue? Sure. A tissue. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. But that's what the money's for. So the who was authorized to who was authorized on its spending? Meaning, was he the rabbi who was given the right of discretionary spending? I don't know. Okay. How gavra dave mafki gabe arnica? We did that already. Let's go on. How gavra daktim vasik kamer lamavra kame disliku in shemimavra? Okay. Another story. So what happened over here is that a person was boarding a boat, but what he did is the first thing he did before anyone else got on the boat is that he pushed his donkey onto the boat. Okay. Did he buy the donkey a ticket? Well, that maybe. I'm not sure if that's consequential, but anyway. the donkey came on first before all the people went on. Bailad boye. Now, the boat is on the water and the donkey's going wild. Wild. And the donkey is looking now with its motion, with its wildness, is looking to capsize the boat. Okay, so now a person that was on the boat, so just a simple traveler. So what did he do? He picked up the donkey and threw it right overboard. Okay, good. Also, the comment of Rava. So the case came in front of Rava Upatre, and Rava says you don't have to pay. And again, you understand all these stories have the same connective tissue. Abaye in each one of these stories is now our third consecutive story where Abaye said, wait one second, you're saving yourself with other people's money. Now, by the way, I didn't make this point clear, even though this is the third round that we're doing this. Is Abaye saying that you're not allowed to save yourself with other people's money? Hard to say that, but I just did. Alternatively, what Abaye is saying is that you have to reimburse. Meaning you can save yourself with other people's money, but you have to reimburse. Sounds like that's really the better way to explain a buy. But either way, Amalei Haimi Ikaru Rode Fava. So now, Mi Ikaru Rode Fava. By inviting the donkey onto the boat, putting everyone's life in jeopardy, allowing the donkey to capsize the boat. So in other words, so this person is a Rodef, and what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to destroy property of a Rodef. Rabbi Latame, now, Rabbi over here being consistent. This Gemara twice in Shas, here and in Sanhedrin. Okay, could be more, but to my memory. So Rabbi Latame, Dama, Rabbi, Rode, Shai, Rode, Fecha, Chavela, Hargov, Shibra, Sakelim, Vein, Shal, Nirda, Vein, Shal, Koladam, Pato, Shere, Mishai, Benafsha. The Rodef himself, while pursuing somebody else, killing him. So the Rodef now, so if he breaks any Kalim, so he's going to be Pato, why Kim Lebe, Darabi, Mine? Something that we know, we've gone over time and again. Near Dusha Shibra Sakelim Sharodev Pater Shaloye Maman Khaviva Lamigufa. Avashakoladim Khaiv Dasalasa Lahatsalatma Bemam Khavera. Okay. The now as far as the Nirdev is concerned, in defending himself, if he breaks any property of the Rodev, that he's not liable for. And the Gemara over here gives such a simple explanation. You're allowed to kill the rodeh if you're allowed to kill his property. Now I know it's not the same, but you understand. A patur on the life of the rodeh, because again, you have every right to defend yourself and you have every right to kill the rodeh, same thing as far as his money's concerned. But if he goes ahead and he damages anyone else's property, so at that point in time, so now he's going to have to pay because he's matza atzmo b'mam chavero. Again, by the way, if you look carefully at the Gemara that I just read, so aval shokol adam chayv da usur lahatzel atzmo b'mam chavero. Right. I just mentioned moments earlier. How do you understand this? How do you understand this halacha? Is that you are not allowed to save yourself with your money's friend, or you are, but you just simply have to reimburse? Like you, say, you heard how I just read the Gemara. Asur la adam, asur la hatzel atzma b'mam chaveru. It sounds not the way I think it's whatever.
It depends on the circumstances.
I don't know about that, but okay. Let me leave it alone. And finally, rodef shei rodef acher rodef latzil v'shibra kelim benchel nirdav benchel kol adam pater v'lo min adin el shimi ata omer kain in lechadav shematzel chaveru min a rodef. And what's it called? I'm not saying it's a perfect comparable, but basically it's a good Samaritan law. And that is that if you're a third party, and so what the Chachamim wanted to do is they wanted to incentivize your involvement. In other words, what's going to happen if you get involved and then all of a sudden you're going to get sued and there's going to be a liability. So what you're going to do as a third party is the following, and then no, thank you. I'm not going to get involved. Right? So in other words, so you are going to be exempted from any civil liability. And obviously criminal as well, meaning what's going on is that there's a road, if there's an ear duff, there's a pursuer, there's a pursued, and now as a third party interventionist, so now what you have every right to do is intervene, and not only that, but you're going to be exempted from any damage. Doesn't matter if you damage the property of the road, if near duff, or anybody else, you're going to be exempted, and again, it's there to incentivize other people to get involved.
Good Samaritan.
That's what I said. Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know enough about the Good Samaritan law to tell you that's a perfect comp, but in other words, it's similar. Okay. Mishnah. Okay, Adkan. All right, that really takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. Now, that's all well and good, by the way, but we're already halfway through the daf, and we got a lot to do. But it's okay. We're doing good. Okay, a Mishnah. Sharfa nara amrlo harisha chalafanecha. Okay, so what happened over here is that you stole your friend's field. And what happened now is that it was a flood, total flood. Field got flooded. Okay. So now as a Goslin, so what you did is you basically now feel terrible. I stole my friend's field. Shouldn't have done it. Field got flooded. Okay. So after a sleepless night, you go back now to the victim and you say to the victim, look, I'm really sorry. I stole your field. Now, stealing property, by the way, this is something that we discuss time and again throughout Shas. The third parak of Sukkah discusses it. So is property something which is stealable? And I know, by the way, I know the grammar is terrible. I know the syntax is terrible, but karka nigzelis, karka ain't a nigzelis. So what you hopefully you'll now know is that it's a machlokas. Okay, now, okay, today's the day. So anyway, so over here, I stole property, and the property got flooded, which means totally ruined. And so now when I go ahead and return it, so can I say, Areshu chalafanecha? According to Rebbe Lezer, that's exactly what you could do. Sorry, let me do that again. So, chayv la'amid lo sadei acher divrei Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Eliezer, no. You stole the property, so in other words, the property was under your ownership, and as a result of that, now that it's been flooded and reduced in its value significantly, you have to make compensation like any Goslin. Right? In other words, when you Goslin, so, and you want to make good, and you want to do hashavas hagzela, so you have to either return the item at its original value, or pay for its original value. A point that we've gone over time and again over here in this Masechta, beginning of the ninth parak, we hammered this point. And so therefore, Rebbe Lazar says, no different over here. And according to the Chachamim, what you do is you'll say, look, what I did was terrible, threw you off your property, right? Assumed ownership of the property, but you know, and the property got flooded. Look, a lot of things have happened over here. But I'm ready to apologize, and I'm just ready to give it back to you. Okay. Now, whether or not the victim is going to be happy,
Why does he have to say anything? Just walk away. That's it. The field is there.
Tanu Rabbanan goes to Sadeh Mechaver v'Shatfanar Chayv La'Ami Lo Sadeh Acher. Div Rebbe Lazar. V'chachamim omrim. Oh, I see what I did. Okay, I'm sorry. I read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is all but one line, not even. And then I just ran right into the Gemara. All right, so let me just backtrack. Sorry, this is me being a little bit OCD, but that's a good thing over here. Let me read the Mishnah. Shadfanar omr lo aresha chalafanecha. Okay. Now Tana Rabbanan, meaning the Mishnah just simply presents one position, which is the Chachamim. And now the Bryce is going to do is it's going to present two positions. Tana Rabbanan goes to Sadeh Mechaver, Veshadfanar, Chavla Milo, Sadeh Acher, Devrei Rebbe Eliezer, Vechachamim omrim omr lo aresha chalafanecha. B'mai kamiflegi. So now the Gemara says, what's at odds over here? What's the issue? And Rabbi Elazar darshan ribui miyuta. Ah. So as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, his methodology of how to darshan, ribui miyut. V'kichesh ba'amito. Now here we are once again. End of Parshas Vayikra. Perek Hay. End of the Perek. Right there at the tail end of the Parsha. And that is the Parsha of theft. And now over there, the Parsha is about stealing an item, having been confronted, denying that you stole it, swearing that you didn't steal it. Yeah. So admittedly, there's a lot of details over there. But the point over there is that it all started with a theft. V'kichesh ba'amito ribui. So what did you do? You denied. The claim was made against you. You denied. Now that's the ribui. That includes any item that you stole. And b'pikadon miyat. And now the Torah goes on to describe, what did you steal? You stole a pikadon, an item, an object, a material object. So kol asher yishav alav l'sheker chazav riba. So now kol asher, that's a following, follows up with another ribui. So you all know, we've done this time and again. So this is now ribui, miyut, ribui. Now, rib, chazav riba. So riba, miyut, viriba. So riba hakol. So now, how does it work? It starts off with, basically, it includes almost everything. I added the word almost, but you'll see what I mean. Umay rabbi, rabbi kol mile. Umay miyut sharos. So it includes almost everything. The only thing not going to be included are those things that are so far away from the model example. What's the model example? A picadon. So a picadon, it's got intrinsic value. It's an item. So, but because we're using the methodology of ribui umiyut, so basically all we're going to do is chip away something that is most dissimilar. And that's a shtar, a note. Does a note have intrinsic value? No. It represents value, but it doesn't have intrinsic value. Okay, so the note is the only thing that's going to be excluded. But in other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, anything else that's stolen, the item now is stolen. That means that according to Rabbi Elazar, karka nigzeles, you stole the land. You are now formally, officially, legally the thief, and therefore the responsible party for that land. So now, while the land is under your care, stolen care, I'll add. So now that the land is under your care, so now that the land has been flooded, you're going to be liable for that for that flooding. That's according to Rebbe Lazar. Meanwhile, according to the Chachamim, so what are they going to do? Looking obviously at the same exact psukim, and they're going to darshan using klal prat klal, classic. V'rabbanan darshan klal prat. So v'kichesh klal be'pikadon prat. O mikol chazar uklal klal prat uklal. Iatadan elakein prat ma prat. Davar ham mitaltel v'gufa mamon. I've called over Amitatov Gufa Maman. So Yatsu Karkao Shein Metaltalin, Shein Metaltalin, Yatsu Avadin Shukshula Karkao, Yatsu Shar Shafa Pisha Metaltalin, Ein Gufa Maman. So now using the rule of Klala Prada Klal, so what we're going to do is that in order to say that there's a Gzela, it has to share multiple characteristics with the example given in the Torah. The example given in the Torah is Pikadon, therefore, it has to be an item of value. It has to be something which is not property. It can't be property. It can't be a shtar, and it can't be avadim, right? Property because it is something. It's not mitaltel. It's not something you can pick up and move. Avadim are hukash lekarka, as we've gone over time and again. And a shtar does not have intrinsic value. Okay. So in other words, more things are going to be excluded by using klal prato klal. They had to tell you. The Gemara says, okay, why don't we consider the following price? We're on the very bottom of kufiyot zayinim and beis. And that is a gozos apara v'shafanar chayv la'amilo para divrei Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim omer lo hareisho chalafanecha. Now over here we're talking about a par. We're talking about a cow. Stole the cow. The land got flooded. So did the cow. And now Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim are arguing whether or not you have to reimburse the cow. Now a cow obviously is a movable item with intrinsic value. What's happening over here? What's going on? So hasam be my kemiflegi amar papa hasam be my eskinan kigon shikazos sadem echaver v'haisa par revutsa bo. The case under the review, it's not just a cow. In other words, you stole the property. Happens to have been that the cow is on the property. And the cow is on the property and you didn't touch or move the cow. Oddly enough, interestingly enough, the cow is now considered part and parcel of the property. It's right. And so therefore, whatever your relationship is with the property, that's going to be your relationship with the cow. According to Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Lazar, karka nigzales, and so therefore you stole the land and you stole the cow. And according to the Chachamim, karka ain a nigzales. You didn't steal the land, you didn't steal the cow. Okay.
I think it must be that the cow is tied up, because by goyim, any animal that can walk away is not.
Could be. I hear. Could be. The Gemara just simply says revutza, but okay. You know, it's funny. We've teased this machlokas now so many times. And when all said and done, we just went through it, and not to say it's a downer, but in other words, it really just comes out to drashas and methodologies, whether or not you darshan ribu umiyot or whether or not you darshan kol haprat. That really is what comes out to whether or not karka is nigzelis or karka ain't a nigzelis. So I could just hear myself, or a number of occasions over the course of Baba Kama, I said we're going to get there to karka nigzelis, karka ain't a nigzelis, and we just did it, and we move on. Okay. Now, you stole an item. You borrowed money. Okay, where is the appropriate place to return the item? That's what we're discussing now in our next short sugya. So, if you borrow the money, stole the item, and you were a biyishuv, and hafkada as well, and an item that was deposited. So in any one of the above, so if it was given by Yishuv, so now what you can't do is you can't encounter him out in the desert, traveling. Oh, look at that. Funny meeting you here. Let me return the item. No. Right? Wrong place. Wrong time, wrong place. Well, really, more focus on wrong place. In other words, I'm not ready to accept back the item right now. In other words, when we're back home and I'm comfortably in my house, that's where you're gonna return the item. Not while traveling, not while in the desert. If, however, we stipulated that at the beginning, so then if you stipulated that I'm gonna be able to return it to you out in the desert, so be it. Okay. Point number one. Uriminu Malva Mishamas Bachomakam Avida Pakana Mishamim Elabim Kaman. So over here, immediately we're gonna be comparing our mishnah with the Braisa. And in the Braisa, a clear distinction is made between a loan versus a deposit. When it comes to a loan can be paid back at any point in time. When it comes to a deposit has to be returned in the right place. Now, so that would be the simple understanding of the Braisa. Now, obviously, the Braisa is not in agreement with the Mishnah. So is it possible now that we can go ahead and create shalom between Mishnah and Braisa? Amar Rabbi Yehachi Kamar. Milva nitna litava b'chomakom. Aveda upegan lo nitna litava elamim koman. So Abai says, yeah, but you misunderstood the Braisa. The Braisa was not talking about repayment. The Braisa was talking about when can I go ahead and demand my loan. So when it comes to a loan, so when and where can I demand it? Wherever I want. Okay. You can demand it wherever you want. In other words, because money. Why did I lend money? So that he could spend it. It's perfectly understandable that he's not going to have the physical money that I gave him. That's why I've lent him the money, so he could spend it. So over here now, it would be appropriate for me to go ahead and make the demand of the money wherever we are. However, when it comes to Aveda, when it comes to Pikadon, so no. Lo nitna litava ela bimkamam. Only when we're back home can I now say to him, okay, give me back the item. In other words, because we're obviously talking here about a physical item, we're most likely, most probably, where he did is he stored in his house. Amanas to say it's about midbar. Second part of the Mishnah tells us that if you made a condition, so then fine. So Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, I get it. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that if we go ahead and we precondition, so then we're going to follow the terms of our condition. I write a Mishnah in Baba Kama at the end of the Masechta that tells me that we make a Tanai, we have to abide by the Tanai. Like, I got that already. So Lo Tzricha, the Kamala, Elahavi Ha, Bekadon Gabach, Andan Lamidbar Nafkinan, Vamrlo Iyu, Anan Lamidbar Nami, Bina Lamepak. So the Gemara says like this. It wasn't a condition. It was more of a casual conversation. In other words, right, I'm traveling. Oh, that's so funny. I'm traveling too. Oh, where are you going? Right? Whatever destination. Same. Okay, good. So now, okay, good. So can I go ahead and ask you to hold this for me? Yeah, sure, no problem at all. In other words, in the course of the conversation, so they figured out that they were going to the same place. So they didn't really stipulate and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to be able to ask you for the item back while we're traveling. So that wasn't formally established. It was just that the conversation definitely gives us the indication that, yeah, hold this for me while we're traveling. Obviously, while we're traveling, I'm going to ask for you back. But it's not a formal condition. It was more of an informal conversation. That's the Chiddush. It still works. We're up to the next mission. We're in Kuf Yuches Amud Aleph. And here now, at the end of Baba Kama, we're going to get to, it really sets us up for the next Masechta, we get to the I don't know. Now, it really depends, says the Mishnah, of what you're I don't knowing. My grammar today is just, it's out of control. What are we I don't knowing? So, if what we I don't know is, I know I stole from you. Now, right, that part I got clear. I have an absolutely clear memory, and I actually remember holding the item. Or I borrowed from you, or you entrusted me with an item, and any one of those. I have your money. I know that. What I'm not sure about is, did I pay you back? Did I not pay you back? My memory is an absolute cloud on that issue. So now the Mishnah says, okay. So now you want to do the right thing, you pay back the money. And not only the right thing, meaning you're chayav. You have to pay back the money. Now, Im Amarlo, second half of the mission tells us, you know, I don't even know if I stole from you. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. In other words, I unfortunately made bad choices. And so I know I for sure stole. I don't know if I stole from you. Or if I don't know if I borrowed from you. I borrowed money. I don't know if it was you. So now the I don't know is going on whether or not I even have your money. So over there, the Mishnah says, Patur Milashalim. On that alone, so you don't have to pay. Okay. Now, what we're missing over here in the Mishnah will become apparent as we go through the Gemara is, what did the other guy say? Meaning over here, generally speaking, when you have a dispute between two parties, so there's a towing and there's a nitan. There's a claim and there's a counterclaim. All we're hearing in the Mishnah is a counterclaim. What was it in response to? What was the claim? Great question. So Itmar, so put a pause, meaning don't pause listening right now, but pause right now on just that question. So here we go, Itmar. We get to a classic discussion in the Gemara. And that is, okay. Here we go now, claim and counterclaim. You have my money. I gave you a money. That's the claim. Counterclaim is any odea. Don't know. Don't know. That's curious. In other words, obviously this is undocumented. Obviously. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. So now, what do we do? So according to Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, so you have to pay? In other words, we'll get to Svaras in just a moment. And according to Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, you don't have to pay. And now Svaras. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayav, Bar Vishama, Bar Yadif. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda say, look, right, the claims over here, the weight of the claim. The claim is, you absolutely owe me money. That's a bari. The counterclaim is, shoulder shrug. Maybe. So over here, I've bari, I have shema. The claim asserting that you owe me money, that's an absolute definitive claim. The counterclaim of, no, I don't. No, he didn't say, no, I don't. He said, I don't know. That's bari v'shema. Bari v'shema, bari adif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amar Pater, Uke Mamona Becheskes Mare. And according to Rav Yochanan and Rebbe and Rav Nachman, no, chazaka. In other words, look, obviously, the weight of the claim is much stronger with the plaintiff than it is with the defendant. That's for sure true. But right now, you also have another mitigating factor and a strong mitigating factor. Who's holding the money right now?
Chazaka.
Right, chazaka. And the only way I can extract money from somebody else is only with definitive proof. A claim is not definitive proof. A claim is just a claim. So over here now, we obviously have two competing values. We have Bari Vishama Bari Adif, and we have Cheskas Amamon. And what the Amoraim over here are arguing about is, okay, so now we have these competing values. Which value is going to win? So Tanan, okay, good. So this is a classic machlokas between the Amoraim. And now, what are we going to do? We're going to go back to our Mishnah. So am I chayiv? So the Gemara says, now, what's happening in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, what exactly, was it a response to a claim? Was it not a response to a claim? I can't imagine, says the Gemara, that there was no tviya. There was no original claim. The plaintiff didn't make an original claim. Because then what's happening in the Reisha? I'm just coming over to you and saying, I stole from you, but I don't know if I paid back. If it's not in response to a claim, so then why would I have to pay? Meaning, in other words, you didn't even introduce the claim. I'm just forwarding the information, so I'm obligated to pay? So the Gemara says, Ela tekatavale v'katani sefer patam l'shalem. Right now, we're assuming that there was a tviya, there was an original claim in our Mishnah, and what did the Mishnah say in the Seifa? In other words, now, with an original claim, the plaintiff makes a claim, so now let's just look at the second half of the Mishnah. So the towing says, you stole from me. The counterclaim is, yes, I stole from you, but I don't know if I paid you back. Huh. And what do we say in the Mishnah? Patur Milashalim. Sorry. I almost got it right. In the Seifa of the Mishnah, the claim was you stole from me, and the counterclaim is, I don't know if I stole from you. And even in such a circumstance, what did the Mishnah say? Patam l'shalim. Now, if that's true, that's obviously going to be difficult for Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Because what did Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say? Bari v'shema, bari adif. We should be awarding the plaintiff the money. So the Gemara says, okay, you could look at the Mishnah that way. And if that's true, that would be difficult for Rav Huna. But, lo, la'olam delo katavale v'resha b'val l'tzizidei shemayim. No. Leave our Mishnah out of the discussion. In our Mishnah, the plaintiff never initiated the claim. Oh, if the plaintiff never initiated the claim, so then what do we do? What are we in court for? That's exactly the point, says the Gemara. We're not in court. You know what just happened? My conscience got the best of me. That's all. So Baba, let's say Yidei Shemayim. So Eid Marnami, I'm Rav Chia Baraba, I'm Rav Yochanan, Homer Lechaver, Manali Biadech, Vala Omer Ani Odea. So Chai Baba, let's say Yidei Shemayim. You're right. In other words, if I say you owe me money and my response is I don't know, so now in a courtroom, they're not going to be able to extract money from me. Because again, cheskas mamon. But in other words, but now, forget the courtroom. I want to do the right thing. Oh, you want to do the right thing? In other words, he says, he makes a claim that you owe the money and you're not sure? You want to do the right thing, you should pay back. Okay. Meaning, but not via the court. The court itself cannot extract the money. But in other words, but if you want to do the right thing, next Mishnah. I'm going to Flemina Edevech Zero. Umes. Onignav. Chai Bachriyoso. You stole an item, you return the item. Now, good. So far, so good. What's the issue over here? You didn't let the victim know. So in other words, hoping right now to save yourself some embarrassment. So in other words, you quietly and discreetly go back and just put it right back there without letting the victim know, really sorry, stole it. Now, mind you, by the way, we learned earlier in the Masechta that you want to do tshuva. Step one, return the item. Step two, you got to ask for mechila. We did that already. We did that back in the seventh perek. Okay. We're past that point, meaning For tshuva purposes, of course, you have to apologize and you have to seek his mechila. But over here now, we're in Baba Kama, the 10th parak, one of the last sukkahs of the Masechta, we're just focused on your liability. Meaning you're a ganav. As a ganav, you're fully liable for anything that occurs. And now what are you doing? You're returning it discreetly. He didn't even know that you returned it. And something happens. You have not exempted your liability. Your liability continues until you go over to the victim and say, hey, I stole it. Hey, I returned it. Then and only then does your liability come to an end. Second half of the Mishnah. Lo yadu ba'alim, lo b'gnevaso v'lo b'chaziraso, manos etzon u'shlemahi pater. Now, let's say you were a ganav, you stole, he didn't know that you stole. By definition, you're a ganav. And you returned it to him. All without him knowing that this ever happened. Okay. And now, he does a head count. He counts the sheep. Okay. from that point going forward, you can now assume, says the Mishnah, that he knows that he had all of them from the point where he counted, even though he didn't know you stole, he didn't know you returned it, but from the point that he counted, your liability has come to an end. Good. Again, that's an important aspect. We are just focusing on when your liability terminates as a ganav. Okay. Amar Rav Ladas, Sarakta, Shalom Ladas, Minyan Poter. Okay. And here we go. Not one, not two, four opinions amongst the Amorayim. When exactly your liability comes to a conclusion as a ganav? Four opinions. How could that be? Well, hang around. Okay. So, Amar Rav Ladas, Sarach Das. If I stole, and the owner knows that I stole, he knows he's a victim of theft. So, Sarach Das. So, what I have to do now is that, in order to finish, to conclude my liability as a ganav, so what I have to do is I have to return him and I have to notify him. Shalom Ladas, Minyan Poter. Now, if I stole from him, and he doesn't know that I stole from him, so then I return it. So, and I don't, obviously I didn't tell him that I returned it. From the time that he counts his sheep, so now you're going to be potter. And then that last clause of the Mishnah is talking about a scenario where, it's going on the second half of the Mishnah, where lo yadu, he didn't know. Okay, good. So that's the opinion of Rav. Next, two, Shmuel. Shmuel amar bein ladas bein shalol ladas bein yipoter. V'chitani umani v'shlema potter akula. Shmuel's position is that when I return it discreetly, either doesn't matter whether he knew that it was stolen, doesn't know that it was stolen, if I return it without notifying him, but he counted, his counting is going to create a patur of my liability in either case. And when the Mishnah at the end says that he counts and you're going to be patur, what's going on? Every case of the Mishnah. Bein ladas, bein shalol ladas. That's Shita Shmuel. Obviously, Shmuel being the most makel vis-a-vis the ganav.
Question. There was only Shinui Yeshuot, but there was no Yeush by the owner, right? So the thief never really acquired by him. It's always the owner's original property, no?
No. In other words, when we're talking about acquisition over here, we're talking about Kinyana Hegzela vis-a-vis his liability. We're not talking about him owning the item. We're just speaking strictly and specifically about his liability. Meaning that
but
once...
But in terms of ownership, it never became the thief's property.
Agreed. We're in perfect agreement. But in other words, but as a thief now, he is going to be fully liable. If something happened to the animal while he is the thief, so then he is going to be on the hook for anything that occurs. It's just a question of liability. Opinion number three. Rav Yochanan Omer Ladas, Minyan Poter. Shalom Ladas, Afilo Minyan, Amilot Tzarech. So according to Rav Yochanan, I said Shmuel was the more smekel. I'm going to take it back. According to Rav Yochanan, if I stole, and he knows he was a victim. So now, by me returning it, without him letting him know that I returned it, and he counted, that creates a patur. Now, Shalom Ladas, if I stole from him, but he never knew that I stole from him, and I returned it to him, obviously, without letting him know, then I'm patur. And we don't even need a minion. I'm going to be patur. So such is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And then when the Mishnah says, Romano Atzon Vihi Shlema Aresha. And then what about the Mishnah talking about counting? It's going on the Resha, where he knows he was the victim. And finally, the fourth opinion. Rather remarkable, by the way. How could there be four opinions over here? Rav Chista Amar Ladas Minyan Poter. If he knows he was the victim, and I return the item, his counting creates a Ptur. Shalol Ladas Sarech Das. Oh. And now, if I stole from him without letting him know that I stole from him, and I'm now returned it, the only way that I can conclude my liability is by informing him that I stole from him. Now, the v'chikitani manus atzon v'yishlema patar aresha. Now, what about the Mishnah and the last clause of the Mishnah that counting creates a patur? It's going on where he knows that he was a victim. Rav Chista's position is by far and away the most interesting position. It's not my comment. The Gemara is about to make that comment right now. Now, because consider now, according to Rav Chista, if he knows he's a victim, okay. So now what I'll do is I'll return the item. I don't have to let him know. Once he counts it and sees that everything's back, so that's it. But if I didn't tell him that I stole it, according to Rav Chista, and now I hand it back to him, also in stealth, no, I'm still liable. Even after he counts, I'm still liable. I have to now go and inform him that I stole the item and I returned the item. Then and only then is my liability come to a conclusion. What? What is that? The Gemara wants to know. Amar Rava, my time at the Rav Chista, ho v'ankete nagre b'raisa. Okay. Difficult expression, but Rashi explains. And that is the following. You basically show the animal the door. In other words, by you stealing the animal, you basically taught the animal it's okay to go ahead and leave. Okay. Now, granted, by the way, you stole the animal. But in other words, you introduced a new concept into the animal's life. There's the door. And so now, if you go ahead and do not inform the owner that you stole, so now basically you've taught the animal a new trick, and you didn't let the owner know that you did that. And so now, because the reason why you remain liable, you stole in stealth, you returned in stealth. The reason why you remain liable is because you taught this animal a new trick, and a trick that the owner is not going to appreciate. And that is, the animal can just simply exit. Ah. That's why when you steal in stealth and he didn't know that the animal was stolen, the only way Rav Chista says that you can conclude your liability of being a ganav is by letting him know.
What is he going to do now? Now that he knows.
Now that he knows, he's going to be, you know, he'll do the necessary shmira in order to make sure that the animal is not going to go and leave. But without you letting him know, so now the animal is going to be more prone to run away. He's been shown the door before. Okay, it's really interesting. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Rava really hold like Rav Chista. Now it's interesting, by the way, because you could have easily just said that Rava is explaining Rav Chista. It doesn't hold like Rav Chista. You could say that. But the Gemara is assuming right now that Rava's explanation of Rav Chista is also a stamp of, I approve of that position. So the Gemara says, now, consider the following. Let's do this again. So what happened was is that a person picks up a sheep from a flock. And now someone was yelling. What are you doing? So he threw it back. V'lo yada I hadre ilo hadre. Now we don't know if he returned. If he didn't return, it may so nignav chay b'achriyus. So my love afagav the money. So the Gemara says, now are we not talking about a case where the owner went ahead and counted the sheep, and still you're going to be liable? And now if that's true, that's not like Rav Chista. So lo money. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where it wasn't counted. Omi amar Rav Hachi v'amar Rav hechzir le'eder shebe midbar yatsa. So if I return the sheep to its flock out in the desert, and the owner doesn't know that I returned it, so Yatza, you have fulfilled your obligation. So again, this is Rav talking, and the Gemara says, and obviously it's not in line with Rav Chista. It's not in line with Rav. So I'm Rav Chana Baraba Modi Rav Biriku Asa. So the Gemara says, as Rashi explains over here, the animal is so striking looking. It was spotted, it was striped. It was such a striking looking animal. You can now safely assume, even though I didn't notify him that I returned it, but over here though, the rest of his animals are all right monochrome, and here now his spotted animal was stolen, returned. You can assume that he knew. He knows. Lema Kitanai. Okay, I'll just keep going until the music stops me. Lema Kitanai. So over here now we have a braisa. Now mind you, by the way, up until this point in time, we were going over the shitas of Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chista. Obviously all Amoraim. What the Gemara now would like to try to do is take this machlokas Amoraim and plug it into a machlokas Tanai. So over here, you steal a sheep from the flock, or alternatively a coin. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Lamakum Shekhan of Yachzer, you got to return it from where you stole it. And Rabbi Kiva says, Tzarech Das Balim, you have to inform the owner when you return it. Okay, so clearly they're arguing. Now, Savru HaDekoleyama, Islay de Rabbi Yitzhak Dam, Rabbi Yitzhak Dam, Asuleh, Mashmash Bekisa Bechol Sha'a. Let's focus on the money right now. Okay? You're missing money in your wallet. Do you know about it? Do you not know about it? Now, if you ask me, which I don't have a say in this, but if you ask me, it depends on the kind of person. In other words, some people have perfect knowledge of how much money they're carrying right now, and some people are just a little bit more relaxed. I got some cash in my pocket. I don't know how much. Okay. So, but Rav Yitzchak's position is as a general rule, you can assume that a person knows exactly how much money he has got in his pocket at all times. People are checking all the time. Now, Myla b'sela l'dasu uplug to the Rav Shmuel. So over here now, what happens is that you sold a seller. So the and now this is l'das. Well, what do you mean it's l'das? He knows that he's a victim. If I subscribe to Rav Yitzchak, yes, he does, because he's checking on the hour every hour. Okay, a little hyperbole on my part, but in other words, but he's checking all the time. And now, when you steal a coin from him, so on his next coin in his next pocket check, he will now know that a coin is stolen from him. So this is Ladas, this is where the victim knows. And what's happening over here? We're having a debate whether or not, when I return it, do I have to notify him, do I have to not notify him? And that's exactly the machlokus of Rav and Shmuel. Perfect. Rav and Shmuel do not want to be pigeonholed in either position. But you understand. In other words, it's a reflection of the machlokus of Rav and Shmuel. Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily. So, B'tlash lo Ladas of Aplukta Derev Chista V'Rev Yochanan. Now, go back to the case of the sheep. In other words, people are not counting the sheep all the time. Money in your pocket, you're counting all the time. But sheep, you're not counting all the time. Shalala das, victim doesn't know that he was the victim. And what they're arguing about is Rav Chisna and Rav Yochanan in terms of whether or not when you steal in stealth, you have to go ahead and inform him. According to Rav Yochanan, you don't. According to Rav Chisna, you do, as we explained just moments earlier. Amar Zid Mishmei Derava. Going to Mirshus Balim Kol Amalo Pligi Kederav Chisna. Let's pause over here. Okay, let's pause.
Last day.
Yeah, tomorrow's the last day. Okay, I got my work cut out for me tomorrow, but that's fine. Okay, it's fine. Okay, let's pause over here. We concluded the sugyas of Moser. Okay, are you going to be able to go after the Moser? The answer is yes. Financially, civilly, you can go after him. Yesterday's off, we talked about criminal. But can you go after the Moser? Yes, but it really depends. In other words, some courts do not award garmi cases. So I know it sounds funny, but the Gemara said that if you want to get awarded for a moser case, you have to go to a garmi court, a court that awards garmi. And that ended yesterday's daf. And with today's daf, goodness gracious, how many different topics did we cover in today's daf? And the answer, quite frankly, is a lot. whether or not Karkas Nigzelis and Nigzelis, that was the Mishnah Kuf Yazayin Amud Beis. Good. Machlokas Tanayim. Where's the proper place to return an item? Maybe a distinction to be made between a loan versus a deposit. Claims and counterclaims. I say that I stole, I just don't remember if I paid you back. I'm not even sure if I stole to begin with. The machlokas amaraim of whether or not I have in the event that I have a tainus bari v'shema, whether we award the tainus bari or we say ukme mamona ches kaso. When does your liability of a ganav come to a conclusion? The Mishnah says is that I stole and I returned it. So when am I no longer liable as a ganav? Okay, it depends on whether or not he knows he's a victim or not, and it also depends on whether he counted his sheep after you returned it. And how many different opinions do we have amongst the Amoraim? Four opinions amongst the Amoraim. We'll pause over here.